Welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. It's a comedy podcast where three best buds sit around and talk about the supernatural, conspiracy theories, true crime, and more. Pretty much anything weird. Now, we tend to pull no punches, so a mature listening audience is advised. But if you like to have a good time, then crack open a cold one, pull up a chair, and hang out with the boys of the Beer Canspiracy Show.
No one could believe that a nurse could kill. She would be known as the Angel of Death.
The Leinz Angels of Death. In the 1980s, Leinz Hospital in Vienna, Austria employed four nurses' aides who murdered at least 49 patients, and possibly up to 200.
A nurse in Italy has been arrested on suspicion of killing up to 38 patients. Investigators believe Daniela Poggiali gave lethal injections of potassium chloride to patients she found difficult or whose relatives were demanding. Staff noticed an abnormal number of deaths connected with the nurse.
She and her then-lover, Gwendolyn Graham, suffocated five elderly patients at Alpine Manor Nursing Home in 1987.
What could be the motive for not one, but a lifetime of murders? Power, or maybe the most common one of all, money. Or more precisely, greed. Amelia Dyer, perhaps Britain's most prolific serial killer, a woman who was notorious for many years. Amelia Dyer killed for money. Nothing new in that, even in Victorian England. But what is astonishing about Amelia is that all of her victims were newborns.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're your hosts. I'm Aaron.
I'm Sean.
Dirty D's not with us tonight, so we're going to skip Dirty D's Dirty News. So we'll get right to the topic. We're doing a late Women's Month episode.
Yeah, I'm a procrastinator.
What are we going to be talking about? It's like a week late. Big deal.
So I'm blaming it on the women that were late. This is to get back at them. Have you ever heard of the Angels of Mercy?
No.
It's not a biker gang who stands up for children who are too scared to testify in court. Unfortunately, it's some kind of phenomenon where serial killers find the profession of their dreams.
Killing.
Yeah, that would be a good biker gang name.
Angels of Mercy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where they're able to hold the power of life itself in their hands, and also wear their work uniform to Halloween parties because they're lazy and it kind of fits in. Nurse zombie
with her tits out. Sexy nurse zombie.
Yes, only if they're hot.
All women's Halloween costumes are sexy
now.
Whatever. Yeah,
nobody, like, you never see a female Bowser.
Yeah,
like,
it's Halloween, be cool.
Hospital personnel that purposely make their people sick or even kill them for their own twisted purposes, but mostly because they're psychopaths.
Another one.
These kinds of people are only women because they're sick. But also keep your eyes open because it could also be a dude. Because
dudes are sick.
Oh.
Yeah, that too.
As in cool.
It's really hard for me to find topics, so y'all should help us out or help me out. But I came across a name that sounded pretty familiar.
I like to think of you know some stuff, but you're not really into the...
occult and stuff.
The community, I guess. So Sean's kind of...
I like video games, I guess.
Yeah. Sean's kind of like our regular, normal listeners. We're teaching you this stuff, and he's learning as he goes.
After looking up that name, it reminded me that these people exist. And after putting it in, like, Google search, there's a lot more than I thought. Like, there's pages of them.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck.
Kind of makes me scared to go to the hospital.
That's pretty scary. Well, you know, I get paid to be there, but if I wasn't getting paid, it'd be kind of scary.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm good. So these Angels of Mercy, they're also called or go by the Angels of Death, which is also another great biker name.
Better.
Yep. That sounded like Goofy.
Yeah, gosh.
I heard about it in X-ray school that you're supposed to be paying attention to what's going around you and the basics. I think it was for the purpose of, developing attention to detail. I don't really know. I wasn't paying attention, though.
If people are dying, you should look for the signs and stuff if there's foul play involved.
This nurse is always carrying a butcher knife, and I don't know what she uses it for.
She keeps stabbing people. I think she's kind of shady, sketchy.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to be noticing when medications go missing, or if the number of deaths in your department skyrocket because of the new hire. That should raise an eyebrow or draw up some questions or two. For example, our first case, the Angel of Death herself, Kristen Gilbert, American serial killer at heart, turned murder nurse. Gilbert was convicted of 4 murders and 2 attempted murders of patients admitted to the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Damn, dude. So she's not just killing regular people. She's killing veterans?
Yeah.
What a bitch.
It's a bitch to like go to war, survive like big old bombs or just somebody shooting at you.
And then some bitch kills you?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
God would hear about that from me.
She induces cardiac arrest in patients putting epinephrine in their IV bags. You probably heard of epinephrine on a crank.
I'm older, so Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay. So it's adrenaline. It's untraceable in blood tests. Gilbert, as well as many other hospital psychos, like to almost kill a patient, then let them fade away slowly, and then pop up around the corner to save their life, to feel the gratefulness from the patient or their fellow coworkers.
Oh no, you're dying. I'll save you.
One of the nurses that I don't have in here, she like gives them a medication to slowly fade away. And she like hugs them in bed and feels their like last breath. Like big
spoon.
But
are they dying?
Mm-hmm.
So are they gonna die?
Yeah.
Okay. So this chick is she an angel?
Oh, are they
of
gonna
mercy?
Die?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not necessarily. Oh, well, okay. At first they all start out with like, yo, this person's going to die. I might as well get my kicks in.
Okay. That's not cool, but it's not as bad.
But then eventually they're just like,
where's all the people that are going to die? Now I got to kill these that
normies?
Might live.
Yeah. Then they start doing that. They like to feel like the hero, or they just kill a patient on purpose because they're sick. Eventually, they'll do these kinds of things on people, just everybody they see. Not everybody they see, but the patients, which we talked about. Gilbert was on duty for about half of the 350 deaths that occurred at the hospital when she started working there in 1989. The odds of this being a coincidence and not being Gilbert's fault is about 1 in 1,000,000. Her only confirmed kills are Stanley Jugadowski, Henry Hudden, Kenneth Cutting, and Edward Squira.
I like those last two. I'd be Kenny Cutting.
That is pretty good.
Kenny Cutting and Edward Squire.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hang around Kenneth Cutting.
Yeah. You hanging around with Kenny, what does he do? Motherfucker cuts. He cuts. Yep. He be cutting. Kenny's always got a knife on him.
Yep. Born Kristen Heather Strickland on November 13th, 1967. She was born with regular parents, no concussion-y parents. Dad worked like regular, and her mother was a stay-at-home mom. Gilbert had a habit of lying at an early age, also had several fake suicide attempts to get attention.
Some people, it's very rare, but some people are just born that way. I mean, it's just what they're gonna be that way. Sometimes they don't have childhood trauma, like
Charles Bronson.
There's that. Yeah, movie. Charles, know, that's fucking cool. There's that movie. I'm sure I've probably talked about it before, but there's something about Kevin. You need to watch that movie because it's like he's just born to be a fucking asshole.
Like the good son?
Kind of. It's way better than that, though. It's scary for people that if you're going to have kids, don't watch that movie before.
She graduated from college and joined the VA staff in 1989. She was featured in the magazine VA Practitioner in April 1990. Nurses noticed a lot of people were dying on her watch, and she got the nickname the Angel of Death as a, you know, there she goes.
Real
Angel
funny.
Of Death over there.
That's a good joke.
Ugh. If they weren't killing somebody, still, she did. In 1996, however, the numbers were starting to add up, and her coworkers started to become concerned. Not only that, but they started missing epinephrine supplies from their stock. When Gilbert started getting investigated, she called it a bomb threat at the hospital to throw the pursuers off the trail.
Never works.
Yeah, like, I know in our department, in ours, I work at the hospital, we have to bring our patients that we have in the room and like bring them outside, you know, if there's a bomb threat or fire. And so she is in dealing with patients that can't move themselves. A lot of them are nonverbal, you know, bedbound, doing a lot, making a lot of work for people that got to like put them on battery and ventilators and take them outside. Dude. That's a lot of work.
Trying to just have an easy day at work and she's doing this stuff.
Yep. So not only is Gilbert a murderer, she's also a bitch.
For show.
Gilbert left the hospital in 1996 and checked herself into a psychiatric ward 7 times.
Jesus Christ.
She would stay between 1 to 10 days. In January 1998, Gilbert stood trial for calling in the bomb threat and was convicted in April. I don't know what kind of sentencing you can get.
What's sentencing?
Sentencing. Like, you know, how long? It's probably a light sentence, but, you know, she's in court, so they got to do an investigation. Probably on everybody. The VA hospital staff members are thinking that she was responsible for 350 deaths and 300 medical emergencies.
Oh, shit. I thought they only said four.
400 deaths?
You said 4 deaths.
Oh, they think she might have did 350. You can't prove 350.
Well, you said she was there for half of 350.
She got convicted of like two attempted.
Well, you said four.
Yeah. But it's kind of like that. It's what you could prove.
That's fine.
Like Elizabeth Bathory, she killed hundreds, but they could only prove like 30. So they think she might have did 350 deaths and 300 medical emergencies. The prosecutor of that case, Assistant U.S. Attorney William M. Welch, guessed that she made the medical emergencies happen because she was dating a VA police officer assigned to the building she was working at. And during those medical emergencies, I think most of them, anyway, there are medical emergencies, a police officer has to be present.
Police. So she just did it just so her boyfriend would come around?
Say, hey, look at me.
Are you fucking kidding me? Good Lord.
Hey, I'm a cool ass nurse. Look at me.
I'm saving people.
Let me save this guy
that I almost killed.
Police officer Peralt testified against her, saying that she confessed to him while she was at the psychiatric hospital that she did, in fact, kill one patient on purpose. Defense attorney David P. Hoos got her off. It was reasonable doubt based on lack of evidence. A psychiatrist who worked at the staff at VA Hospital in Northampton, William Boutel, theorized Gilbert created these medical emergencies to show the hospital how awesome of a nurse she was when she showed up to save the day. Kristen Gilbert was convicted and currently incarcerated, serving 4 consecutive life sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, woman. Yep. You stay in jail and you make us sandwiches.
Without parole, plus 20 years for 3 counts of first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and 2 counts assault with intent to commit murder. So that's a fine.
She's a terrible person.
They're all terrible
people. She did this for attention.
Oh, yes.
Just like a woman.
But wait, there's more. So this is in the years of 1983 and 89.
Moving on to our next one?
Yeah, we're moving on to the next one. Waltraud Wagner and her band of murder nurses consist of 3 fellow nurses, and they formed the group Lane's Angel of Death, which is where this all takes place. That's why they call them that.
Lane's?
Lane's. Lane's Vienna. I just want to make it clear that they're not sexy nurses. They look like definitely 80s truckers.
Most of these chicks do.
Yeah. Wagner is the first one to commit murder and performed it as a true angel of mercy. A 77-year-old asked Wagner to end her life because she was tired of suffering every day, and Wagner obliged her by making her OD on morphine.
That's nice.
Yeah, man.
That one's okay.
I worked at a nursing home, and this lady is like, I don't want to live anymore. I'm like, hey.
Shut up. I'm almost off.
It's not like life is going to get better for most of them. You know, it's like, hey, you know.
If you're not busy, would you mind killing me?
I'd be like, fuck, not going to get better tomorrow.
Next shift, I got you.
So Wagner ended up getting off on that.
Yeah. Oh.
She helped the bro out. Plus also she was like, huh.
Hey guys.
Guess what's pretty fun?
Want to do some cool shit?
Yeah. She got three of her buddies to join in. 19-year-old Maria Gruber, 21-year-old.
How do you say that?
Gruber. I said Gruber.
You said Maria.
Maria. Oh, shit.
Maria.
Maria Gruber. 21-year-old Irene Ladoff. And then house mother, 43-year-old Stephanie Mayer.
Stefania.
Oh, yeah, Stefania. You know, I don't think I could read. I think
I know. I've told you this for years.
I think I just memorized words. I was like, oh, this one means the. Mm-hmm. Or
it's like when I was a kid and I could read Dr. Seuss, but mom was like, you just memorized all those words and repeated it back to me. You don't know how to read, you little bitch.
That's funny. I wasn't really a big Dr. Seuss guy. I guess.
I like eggs and ham. So green eggs and ham was my shit.
I mean, that's the most classic one, I guess. Yeah. We had green eggs and ham at school one time. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is nice, but I would, I don't want to turn my eggs green.
Is it moldy?
I was like, oh, it's from the book. But if somebody served you that anywhere, you'd be like, oh. So how do you think that conversation ended up starting? Like, hey, new girl, she's 19. I guess she's been doing it at most 2 years.
What are you into?
Yeah.
Killing people? You started the right place.
It's pretty fun. They soon invented their own method called the water cure. They would hold the patient's nose shut, use a tongue depressor to push the tongue down, and pour water down their throat, which ends up getting into their lungs and their stomach. But the big problem is the lungs.
That's like waterboarding.
Uh-huh.
That's a terrible way to die.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Let's do this. And just to reiterate, waterboarding will not affect me in any way whatsoever. And also, you have a vagina.
Well, it's pretty very common in nursing homes and, you know, it's not very much at hospitals.
Oh, like getting water in their lungs?
Yeah, they're just, I don't know, there's a fluid. There's a flap in your neck. It's like a tissue more than a muscle. And then, like, everything gets old. Even that gets old. And it just, like, stops working, pops open. You swallow, and then it goes into your lungs.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I'm going to die. I've had so many choking accidents. I feel my throat is fucked up. So many choking on cheese and choking on water. That's probably how I'm going to die.
I feel stupid when I like choke on my spit. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, I'm retarded. So that pneumonia type deal, it's very common in old people. They get pneumonia and then they drown or get an infection and they die. Super not fun way to go.
It's like drowning.
It is like drowning. The Wagner group would kill them if they soiled their sheets, if their family was annoying, if they snored, if they're just not the perfect patient.
So mean.
Yeah. You know, just killing people. Their section of the hospital was called the Pavilion of Death.
Bro, that should not be a section in the hospital. If that's happening, you should fire all the nurses. They're terrible.
You know, I think they stick up for doctors and nurses because, like, if bad things, I was like, we can't let the public know or nobody's going to come here again or something. I think.
Well, see, you wanted me to do that guy, Charles Cullen. Hmm? I didn't do it, but I went into his story. And
I didn't read it at all. So
he was killing a bunch of people. And then the hospital did an investigation on it. But they swept it all under the rug because they were trying to expand the hospital. They didn't want to lose all this money. But then you got to be like, our hospital has all these people dying. If they hear about this, nobody's going to want to come here. Doctors are not going to send their patients here. So it's just, mm-hmm. It makes us look bad. So they just let them keep killing.
I think this is the same thing.
Yeah. He did it once and then they sent him to another hospital. He just did the same thing. And they, again, the same thing, just swept it under the rug.
I think like hospital, well, you know, the pharmaceutical business is like, I don't know, what, top five businesses?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe three.
Probably top three.
So that hospital, that's got a lot of money going through it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they complain about, oh, we're another poor. I'm like, bullshit, you're poor. Hospitals, it's always full. We ain't got no beds.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing business all day, every day.
Mm. Maybe you're just shitty at money management.
Probably. I don't get it. All this shit is so hyped up. In American hospitals, like, you are overcharging everything. How are you not have enough money?
Mm-hmm. So, February 1989, they were caught because of a doctor overheard them snickering and bragging about the latest person they gave the water cure to. Thankfully, like we were just saying, the doctor turned them into cops. They went to the trial in April 1989. Like we were just saying, I'm really glad that he ratted him out to the cops instead of the hospital.
Actually did something.
Yeah, instead of going to HR, I'm like, yo. And then I'm like, oh, shit. We'll take care of that quietly.
Yeah.
Which
we'll,
is not
we'll
at
take
all.
Care of it in-house. We'll discipline them in-house and just suspend them or
yeah,
something.
Like we just talked about, yeah. They confessed to 49 murders. Some speculate they killed over 400 patients, but that was no way they could prove that. And they admitted to 40. Wagner was convicted of 15 murders, 17 attempts, and 2 counts of assault, and got life in prison. Ladoff got life as well, convicted of 5 murders. The other 2 got 15 years. They probably participated less than the others. July 2008, Wagner is the last to be released on good behavior. So they are all out of jail, and 2 of them are changed their identity. That's in Italy. That's in Vienna, yeah.
I don't think that should be a thing. They should
be in jail still or well, they death
should,
penalty.
They should do like Brad Pitt did in Inglourious Basterds and give them something they can't take off. You know, the Nazis, where he carved the Nazi symbol in their head.
I thought you meant like send them to war and maybe they'll like kill the enemy.
No.
Like a Suicide Squad. Got one more. American. Actually, I don't know. She's just white and from English-speaking parts. Daniela Pogliali is a real sick piece of crap. All of them are, but if you look at her name, like if you Google images her, like the first thing that pops up is her giving a thumbs up by a dead body. And like they blurred out the face, thankfully and obviously, but I was like, oh, what the?
Yeah, because it's probably gross looking. It's a dead body.
It is gross looking. And a 3-month period in between 2013, 2014. So not too long. Yeah. 38 out of 86 of her patients under her care died. She said she killed them because they were annoying. She claimed that she didn't kill anybody at the time. But when she was being investigated, she had a lot of pictures on her Twitter and her social media platforms and her posing next to really sick or dead patients. In her defense, she said that the photos were private and just for her and her friends.
Then why are you putting it on fucking Twitter?
Right?
That's not private.
Exactly. The prosecution got her on 40 kills. March 2016, she was convicted of the murders, and a year later, she was acquitted and set free. There was a statistics team that was really interested in the case, headed by Richard Gill and a few of his students. After a lot of opposition from the hospital to give him any information, because, you know, the reasons we're talking about, wanted it on hush-hush, they get all the informations of when the patients were passing and when she worked, and that a majority of the world's patients tend to die in the morning. I think that's because, you know, at night, it's kind of like a skeleton crew, and like a nurse has to watch 30 patients, so I think their rounds take an hour to get through all of the patients, so maybe they kind of like were slow to getting to one, and that's why they're found in the morning.
Well, I mean, I'm just assuming. I know, like, let's just say blood pressures are higher at night and in the morning, so
are they?
Yeah. I mean, it could be just like maybe the same for all kinds of stats in the body or something. Like everything's higher maybe at night, so you could be just like, yeah, he got real high. He coded. We didn't see him till the early morning. So,
yep. Quitted, set free.
Yeah. Stupid.
A lot of patients died while this nurse was on the rotation, but that made the team think that she just worked really hard and she was always at the hospital. So there was always, you know, whenever they died, she was there, but that's just because she's a hard worker.
Bullshit.
The prosecution didn't rest, though, and they did an autopsy on a. The last victim, 78-year-old Rosa Calderoni.
Rosa Calderoni. Oh, this is American, not.
Yeah, well, she's probably Italian.
Calderoni.
They found a lethal amount of potassium chloride in her system, which meant that she had a lethal dose. Apparently. What's the dose?
What's the so? What is that?
Morphine?
That's sodium or something?
Oh, potassium chloride? Oh, that's the hell.
Like salt?
No. I keep on imagining a banana, yeah. But that's to help blood pressures. I'm pretty sure. Look it up.
Low blood levels.
Oh, dang it. Knew something with blood, though. Samsonite. Apparently, the lethal injection through your IV is 15 milli equivalents, which nurses use different math because they had to do math to figure out the rate at which to push drugs through the IV. And then Marilyn's like, oh, this is hard. I'm like, I was like, no, you just set up a fractions equal equivalent. And then she's like, that's not how they do it. And then stormed off. I was like, oh,
I'm out. Too much math.
I guess it's harder and more different than that.
Me and her are better in English and the arts and stuff, not math and science.
But it's not as easy as I thought. The statistics team found a false correlation with the potassium found. They concluded that there is a statistical uncertainty, and also the advanced age of the patient played a part. You know, I'm assuming that they don't process or metabolize it very well. The team tried really hard to clear the nurse, but the judge saved a lot of Italians by convicting Daniela on 2 counts of murder and stuck it to statistics and math. The biggest reason they do this is for the thrill. You know, doing something naughty. It was like, oh, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason they do this is because of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to each his own. I don't really get it. Heavy as a crown. The least used reason is the missionary killings. They kill people because they think they're inferior. They're
trying to help
or
them.
Moral. Yeah. That was like that Atlanta killer on Mindhunter. The black guy who was killing black children, right?
Wayne Williams. Yeah, no, that's not what he thought.
Oh, what?
He was killing kids.
Yeah, I thought because he thought they were gross and...
No.
We'll have to watch.
He just liked to kill kids.
Okay. I know we've been picking on the ladies tonight, but it's funny. So let me throw out some stats that are gender neutral. Over 700,000 people die at the hospitals every year. While not all of these deaths are preventable, but many are the result of errors in medical care. You know... Working at a hospital for years, you work and the ER is packed, like from 7 p.m. for sure, but like 5 p.m. it's starting to get bumping.
That's when people go fucking crazy.
I guess
it's like they always say, like on
Applebee's
on nights with like a full moon, they know they're gonna be packed and stuff.
Yep, it's just the law of hospital nature.
Yep,
so it's packed, and then like everybody's running around in the ER and the you know, in the hospital, it's a little more, you know, people are going to be there for more than a day. It's more chill. But the ER, boom, 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 lots of fast decisions. And then you got people running around. ER is real busy. And I worked x-ray there for 2 years. And like, you always catch them like putting in the wrong order. I was like, I think you meant the right, not the left. And I was like, nah, I think you meant like, you want to look at his forearm, not his wrist. Dummy. But you know, they're running around saving lives. Well, they're just putting in the wrong order. Like,
telling them
to do the wrong thing.
You meant you wanted to like x-ray his forearm?
Well, you can't do anything without an order. So, but then he like puts in the wrong order on the computer. He's like, do this. And they're like, I think you meant to do this. Like, oh yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's understandable. Like, you work in Baton Rouge. Like, that's a high
traffic.
High traffic hospital. I mean, those girls are probably working a lot and working late. And
yeah, they do 60-hour days pretty regularly.
It's understandable. So it's just good to have
backup
checks and balances.
Yep. That also, sepsis is the number one killer in the hospital. You know, an infection. That's why I wash my hands. Like I've been told, I wash my hands a lot. I was like,
that's not a bad.
No, it's not a bad.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad habit to have.
Yeah, just you got to after you touch everybody or we do it a lot.
Disgusting people.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, man. I made this big mistake. There's this patient. They have like an open wound on their heel. It's big and open. And then I'm like, I say hi and stuff. And I don't have my gloves on yet. I turn around. I like whip my hands for some reason. And then my finger went into their heel.
Oh, gross.
And I was like, my mouth was open. I was like, oh, shit.
Just wash your hands.
Yeah, but still, it was inside somebody and not in a dirt, not in a sexy area.
You better be glad you didn't have like a open wound on your finger.
Ugh. Yep. So infections happen all the time. You gotta wash your hands. It's like an infection. Like you get a bad infection, and then your body starts fighting that thing, and then it goes kind of crazy, and then starts killing your other body parts, like the infections
spreads
fast. So my advice when you go to the hospital, like, pay attention to why you're there. One thing that drives me crazy about patients, we have to make them fast So you can't eat for 6 hours, no caffeine for 12, a lot of the test. And they come in, I'm like, hey, your doctor ordered this. What's going on?
He's like, how was the fasting?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. I was like, why are you here? He's like, I don't know. My doctor told me to come. So if my doctor said, I don't have one, but if they said, don't eat, you got to take a half a day off of work. You got to get this test done. I'm going to know for sure what it's for. Like, I'm just saying, you pay attention to the doctor. Like, sometimes they're like, want to look at the wrong stuff.
I don't like going to the doctor, so I'm super nervous when I'm there. I don't pay attention to what they're saying. So they could be like, you need to fast because we're going to do this and this and this. And they're saying words that I don't fucking know. And then I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, you got to give blood and or do this and fast. And I'm just like, what's happening? It's a little too fast. If you can have a second person there with you that's actually paying attention. Because, I mean, hospitals are a stressful environment.
They are.
Anyway, whatever you're doing there. So have a buddy.
Buddy!
Yep. I got on my eval, they're like, the way you give your spiel to somebody, there's like, it's kind of like choppy and not fluent. And it's because, like, the ones that have done it for 20 years are going, we're going to do this. You understand? They're like, yeah.
Slow down. And then
they like leave. I'm like, so we're doing this. And then I speak in like very basic, slow language, you know, because they just go, and I'm not that fluent. I'm never going to be that fluent. I don't want to.
Another
people
one.
People need basic English.
Doctors just think you understand what they're saying. And yep. You're just like, I don't know what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, so I just talk to them very basic. Like
your shit's fucked up, so you need to stop eating.
Yeah, basically.
Because we're going to do a test tomorrow.
Yeah, so just pay attention and look at, you know, as much as you can. Look at your story. Oh, if they're like giving you something like through your IV, like, watch, ask them what it is. So if they're like, I was slipping, are you giving you some morphine? Wink.
Well, okay.
Deadly morphine.
So it's my turn. I got a couple to talk about also. My chicks, Gwendolyn Graham and Kathy Wood, from January to March 1987, nurses aides Gwendolyn Graham and Kathy Wood smothered and killed 5 patients under their charge. The two were banging, and they played games with their helpless patients that lived in the nursing home that they worked at, and the two would earn the nickname the Lethal Lovers. So we'll start with their childhoods, because I think in this case, at least, I mean, the link between their actions as adults and the trauma as children, it's really pretty evident. So we'll start with Gwen first. So she grew up on a farm outside Tyler, Texas. Her dad was really adamant that she learn about life and death, and his ways to teach her was to make her watch beheadings of chickens and pig slaughters.
Hmm.
And then those lessons got a little bit harder as she grew up. When she was a teenager, she had one of her dogs barked at a horse and it threw its rider. Her dad got really mad. So one day she came home and he made her brother shoot her dog. And then they buried it. But after it was buried, she dug it up and she held on to its teeth and skull for the rest of her free life. So until she got
convicted,
taken to prison or whatever, she had a little box with her dog's teeth and skull. Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. So her mother was no better. She's one of those moms that wasn't very hands-on, meaning that Gwen did not get hugged enough. That's a big thing. Always hug your children. So she starts cutting herself and putting cigarettes out on her arms, something she would do all the way up into her adult life. And then, yeah, she's also, her father molested her. But moving on from that. So yeah. Kathy's turn. She was born on an Air Force base near Soap Lake, Washington. Her dad was stationed there in 62, but the family moved to Massachusetts. And then he was shipped off to Vietnam. He wasn't really around much in her early years. She spent a lot of time alone because of the cruelty of other kids, because Kathy was a biggin.
Mm.
Not only fat, like, I think she was real tall.
Oh, I thought you meant uppity.
No, she's a big chick, and they made fun of her for that.
We got to, you know.
Yeah. It's easy.
I'll try to get
it's
her
easy to do.
Yeah, your kids.
Upon entering puberty, she got into a relationship with a boy named David.
He likes the big ones.
David was such a cool dude that drove a pink Cadillac.
Oh.
One day.
Bruce Springsteen song.
Is it?
Pink, it's good.
I don't like
Springsteen. Oh, no. You, if you like any song, that's the one you would like of his. It's badass. It's like almost a country song.
Another one.
So one day, Kathy goes to David's house. His mother answers the door, and Kathy was like, "Hey, can I see the cool guy, David?" And the mom was like, "I don't have a boy named David. I have a girl." So she saw a picture hanging on the wall of a girl with flowing hair, and it was David. So David was actually a girl.
Oh, you tricked us.
Yeah, I did. So this gave her a sense of mistrust.
I wonder why you kept putting emphasis.
Dude, a boy. Because she was a girl. She was really confused about sex because she'd been making out and fooling around with a dude named David, but he's actually a girl. So she ends up having sex with David just to see everything going on downstairs. And
kind of lazy. I think you need to do some self-exploring first. And maybe she was already doing it.
Well, of course she was doing it. She's going through puberty. So, like I said, Dave was in fact a girl biologically. He had girl parts. Yeah. So the next guy she dated at 16 was a dude named Ken Wood. He was kind of older than her. They end up getting married. They have a kid named Jacqueline in 1980. She did sex just because Ken wanted to. So it was kind of like she just wanted to see what a man was like. He was a kind of heavier set guy, but he was a man. She would just like, I think the first time she would just like, "Can you get naked? I just want to see." And they didn't do anything. Like, she just wanted him to undress and see his stuff. Then they started having sex and they had a kid. So they ended up getting divorced in 1986. Ken left with their daughter, so he ends up taking the daughter with him. Kathy had to get a job to support herself, and she found one as a nurse's aide at Alpine Manor Retirement Home. Apparently, there was like a huge lesbo community there. Like, all the nurses were fucking each other. So she...
A lot of drama.
Yeah, she kind of got into it. She liked it. She loved the sweet, sweet muff. She started dating a younger girl. I think she was like 18, named Dawn. Until Gwen got a job there. She never really had an interest in Gwen. I think Gwen was real good friends with Dawn, her girlfriend, or her bang buddy at the time. And then one day, Gwen came into like the break room, and she had her sleeves rolled all the way up, and Kathy noticed all of Gwen's scars and stuff. Yeah, and she got a huge lady boner off of that. Mm. Because she kind of noticed like a fellow crazy person, and she fell in love, and they became inseparable. Kathy was really a manipulative person. So she probably just saw somebody as like, "Oh, she's broken. I could do whatever I want with her." Hmm. So as part of their relationship, the two like to play games on people. And they were like really mean games. Like, Kathy would tell a nurse, like, "You better watch your husband." And then she would call the nurse's husband and be like, tell him his wife was cheating on them. She just liked to start drama and stuff. She loved to start shit. And then
don't need that in your life.
Yeah. That kind of escalated into fucking with the patients. They'd move them into different rooms and not tell anybody about it. And then the nurses can't find their patients, like the ones who need constant care and stuff. They would go into the rooms and be like, "Oh, fuck, they're gone. Where are they?" And those very chicks cool. would be like, "I don't know." So their behavior seemed to stem from their childhood trauma. And like you said, they long for like power and control. That's the kind of shit they need. So again, their games escalated. They called this the murder game. They started killing in January 1987. So what they did was they wanted to choose patients by the first initial of their name. And when they were done, the initials were going to spell out the word M-U-R-D-E-R, murder. Kathy would keep watch. Gwen she'd hold a wet cloth over their mouth and their nose of the patient. And what that would do was it stopped them from breathing, so they died. And then after they were done, they'd run away giggling, and they'd find an empty room, and they'd finger bang and scissor and like all the stuff like lesbos do, like
touch butts,
crafts and shit or whatever. I don't really know what they do. So the part about trying to find patients whose initials would spell murder got way too hard because
there's no U's.
Cool, what's a U name? So, and then also like some patients were harder to kill. I think they tried to kill some dude and he fought him off, but still he couldn't really tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
So they would just, they changed the meaning of the word day to mean murder. So they would attack a patient who couldn't defend themselves. And then they'd be like, they would say like, I love you for forever and a day. And I love you for forever and 2 days. Till they got to, I love you forever and 5 days. So like with each murder, they'd add a day, meaning the day meaning an extra murder, whatever. So the relationship didn't last. Gwen ended up moving back to Texas with another chick who would later testify against her in court because Gwen confessed to her what they were doing. I mean, they got caught because Kathy actually told her ex-husband about the killings, and then he took 14 months to actually go to the police because he didn't actually believe her. I mean, the girls would tell the staff at Alpine Manor that they were killing patients, but nobody believed them. It's just a joke. But in 1989, at the trial, they would just point fingers at one another. Like, Gwen would be like, I did the killing, but Kathy made me do it. And Kathy was like, I didn't want to. We were in love, and Gwen liked to kill, so I helped. But the blame actually got put on Gwen because she was the one actually killing people. So she was found guilty of 5 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of conspiracy to commit murder, and received 5 life sentences. I'm assuming that 1 count of conspiracy was, like I said, that one guy that they tried to kill, but he was too strong. And yeah. Kathy was found guilty of 1 count of second-degree murder and 1 count of conspiracy to commit second-degree murder. She received 20 years for each count. Kathy was actually released in 2020. So she's...
Most of these people are out.
She's out and about. She could be living in your neighborhood. They say, if you go outside on a cold winter's day and you breathe deep through your nose, you smell something fishy, it's already too late because Kathy comes and kills you. I was not aware of this, but apparently they have a scene in American Horror Story Roanoke that kind of depicts their murders. I've never heard of these chicks before.
On the movie?
American Horror Story?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so that's the list. And we'll move on to our next one. So our last beautiful lady we're going to talk about tonight. No, she's terrible looking. I'm sorry, I was being sarcastic there. She's probably our most famous.
Oh.
Her name's Amelia Dyer, a.k.a. the Ogress of Red.
I'm an ogre. You know, grab your torch and pitchforks.
Oh.
She was an ugly bitch. So this chick had a long career, about 30 years of killing little babies. Born in 1837, she's our oldest bitch of all of those we're talking about. Her childhood was kind of hard, but I mean, everybody's life was hard in those times, so you really have no excuse. Her most traumatic event was that her mother contracted typhus, and Amelia cared for her mother while she slowly descended into madness. It's like a bacterial infection, maybe comes from like fleas or chiggers or something like that. Mm. So you get rashes and stuff, and then...
You mean chiggas.
Chiggas. And then you, like, it's kind of like syphilis. Like, I guess you just slowly descend, your mind goes, and you start to... you just go crazy. So from that, she learned the symptoms of someone who's mentally ill, and that would come in handy later on in our story. So she ended up marrying this old-ass dude named George Thomas. They changed their ages on their marriage certificate so it didn't seem as creepy because he was like 60 years old and she's like in her early 20s. I think she's like 24 or something like that. So he made himself younger. She added on to her age so it wasn't as weird. But so she needed a job because he's really old. He couldn't really care for the family. So she started training as a nurse.
60 back then is like 80 now.
for real. Like he's just about dead.
Yep.
And I mean, being a nurse is one of the only jobs a woman could get. A lot of women went into workhouses, which is really hard work, but Amelia was lazy as fuck. She hated to work. And then she met this lady, Ellen Dane. I think she might have rented a room in Amelia Dyer's home. So she was a midwife who taught Amelia about baby farming. It's a service for unwed girls who had illegitimate babies, and what they would do was they'd put an ad in the paper, and they would take the baby, usually for a flat rate. Maybe sometimes they would pay increments throughout the time you're caring for their baby, or they'd take food and clothes just to help out a little bit, but they care for the baby just till they get adopted or could get another foster home. But they'd have a shitload of babies in their house, and they would kill the babies through neglect to get more babies. So the more babies you get, the more money you make. Very high turnover rate of babies.
So sad.
Yeah. So they'd give the babies alcohol or something called Godfrey's Cordial, which is just like an opiate. And it was just like to keep the babies quiet. They'd keep them fucked up all the time so they wouldn't make noise or anything. Because, you know, you got babies. A baby that's sleeping all the time is really easy to care for.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They would just overdose the babies till they died.
Oh, that's super sad.
In 1869, her husband George died because, again, old as fuck.
Mm.
And they had a daughter, so she needs a job to care for her baby. Baby farming sounded really like an easy way for her to make a buck, so that's what she started to do. After a while, it was way too much work to care for the babies, and it took too long to drug them, so she would just start murdering them. Doctors started to become suspicious because all these dead babies were just coming to her, and they would die, and you have to go to the doctor for a death certificate. And then a doctor was like, dude, this chick is killing. There's so many babies dying. So he told the police, got the police involved. But she was always using aliases and she'd move around a lot. So she got away really easy.
Wearing a mustache.
Yeah, which she grew herself.
Yep.
Ogress of Reading. Very easy to grow a mustache. They eventually caught her in 1879 and she got 6 months hard labor. Which she hated because she had to do work. She's very late. She's a lazy bitch.
Still, I would hope she got more time than that.
Yeah, you would think so. I think Ellen Dane, that chick that taught her about baby farming, I think yeah. they found out about her and she ended up moving to the U.S. And then, well, Amelia was helping her out and learning things from her. So she was kind of worried that she was going to get caught. But she never did because, of course, of the aliases and the moving around and stuff. So she did get out. Doing hard labor and shit, and she just went back to nursing. But if the police would get too close, she'd fake insanity to be put in an asylum. And that's where learning from her crazy mom came into play, because she knew how to act insane. So she was really good at acting, and they would just be like, this bitch is crazy. They put her in an asylum. They wouldn't take her to jail or anything, so she'd get away. Plus, she got really into alcohol and taking laudanum, which is an opium. They used to give laudanum just, oh, you got a headache, here's some opium. You got the sniffles, here's some opium. And it was really easy for her to get because she was a nurse. And that just kind of sucked her into insanity even more, being just a dope fiend. Anyway, so problems came up when she took an illegitimate baby from a governess, which a governess is like a live-in nanny or a tutor or something. It's pretty much just a chick you hire to take care of your kids because you're a lazy, terrible parent and you don't want to deal with your kids. This governess, she gave her baby to Amelia, but she would come back to see her baby. And Amelia was like, oh, here's your baby. And the lady was like, that's not my baby. She's like, nah, babies start to look different as they grow older. This is your baby. She just looks a little bit different because you haven't seen her in a while. But she wasn't fooling the governess. She stripped her baby. She stripped the baby because she knows her baby had a birthmark on her hip. So she stripped that baby and it didn't have a birthmark. And she was like, no fucking way, dude. That's not my baby. So she alerts the authorities. Yeah. She should have just drawn a birthmark on the hip.
They should have like, let's not kill this baby.
No, not even that I'm smarter. Yeah.
Not that I'm giving them the idea. But.
Right. So that governess told the authorities, and then Amelia tried to commit suicide by drinking 2 bottles of laudanum. But, I mean, the problem was she'd been doing laudanum for so long that she grew taller, and so she didn't die. But she ended up, I guess just because her trying to commit suicide, she ended up going in an asylum. And then she gets out, immediately goes back to baby farming because that's her only source of income. She's a woman. She can't do anything else. So instead of wasting doctor's time when the babies died to go get a death certificate, she just started throwing the babies in the Thames River. I think that's how they say it. Thames. Yeesh. So another problematic that lady.
Haunted.
The Thames? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Probably. I mean, she threw a lot of babies in there. We'll find that out a little bit later. So another problematic lady came into the picture, a lady named Evelina Marmon. She gave birth to a little baby girl, but I think she was like a bartender or some kind of shit. She couldn't take care of the baby at the time, so she wanted Amelia to take care of the baby till she could make enough money to actually take care of her baby. So Evelina paid Amelia 10 pounds and also gave her a box of clothes. I haven't said, but this she made like 10 to 80 pounds each baby, which is a shitload of like thousands of dollars for each fucking baby. She ends up, she strangled the baby with tape, which it was not a fast death. She would tie it just till they strangled to death. It'd take a while. She said, I used to like to watch them with the tape around their neck, but it was soon all over for them. She gave some boots from the box of clothes that Evelina had given to her. She gave them to her landlady's daughter, and then she pawned the rest of the clothes. And then, so she got another little boy named Harry Simmons soon after that, and she didn't have any more tape. So she took the tape from Evelina's baby and strangled Harry Simmons with that. She ends up putting them both in a carpet bag with some bricks, and she threw that in the Thames. So in 1896, a bargeman found a package in the river that contained, you guessed it, dead baby. So he alerted the authorities because she didn't weigh the package down good enough. So it floated and he found it. So on the paper that she wrapped them in, there were small words saying Miss Thomas and an address. I think that was one of her aliases, but her first husband was George Thomas. So she is technically Mrs. Thomas, but her second husband was Dyer. So she's going by Dyer now, but they were able to find her and the authorities used a girl as a decoy, pretending like she wanted to give up a baby. And they used her to raid Dyer's house. And right when they get into her house, they were hit with the smell of decaying bodies. They didn't find any bodies.
What?
But they did find other related evidence, including white edging tape, the tape she used to strangle them, telegrams regarding adoption arrangements, pawn tickets for children's clothing, receipts for advertisements, and letters from mothers inquiring about the well-being of their children. So they kind of had her at this point. And it was concluded, and I don't really know how, but that she murdered over 400 babies and children.
That's what I read.
Yeah. So they end up dredging the river. They found six more bodies, including the last two that she killed, Doris Harmon and Harry Simmons. And it was said that they had white tape around their necks. I'm assuming only Harry had white tape because she used...
From the little girl
to put around the boy. But... she was like, yeah, that's how you can tell their mind because of the white tape. So she tried to plead insanity and they're finally like, you're a fucking fake ass bitch. And they denied her that. And it took the jury 4.5 minutes to find her guilty. And after 3 weeks in holding on Wednesday, June 10th, 1896, they hung her ass.
Good.
Good riddance.
Yep.
I think, like I said, 10 to 80 pounds, 10 to 50 pounds, 10 to 80 pounds, somewhere in there. For each baby, which is a lot back then. So that's the end of her.
That's sadder than old people that's dying. That's
really sad. Like,
it's super sad.
She's making money. I
hope they go to, all dogs go to heaven.
Well, like all the chicks you were talking about, like they killed just for fun, but this chick just killed just because she needed money. Some money. Get a fucking job. But whatever. So I do have a song. This guy named Reg Morose wrote a song about Dyer called The Angel Maker. It's a track on his 2018 album Songs About Trains. I can play some of it. It's not great, but I mean it's about her.
I pray you be kind, Mother Dyer, to this babe never asked to be born, or be more than kind, his frail cries I will.
I thought it was a good song.
Pretty good.
For what it was.
Yeah. Just terrible subject. What are you doing writing about this?
It's stuff? Really sad. Yeah. It's like something they should play on Forrest Gump.
Yeah. In the back. So we did a lot of cases about, we'll just call, I think we're going to title this The Angels of Death.
There's a lot more.
Yeah. If you think these are bad, we skipped a lot of details, terrible details. We really summarized these cases a bit. But hope you like this episode. Remember to like us and share us on Facebook and Instagram. Whatever you guys want to hear. If you want to hear us do a topic, we don't mind doing research for it. Send that to us at BeerConspiracyShow@gmail.com or Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, that's it. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Beer Conspiracy Show.
Sexy and Nips.
Sexy Nips. Love you long time. What else does he say?
Grease Lightning.
I'm Dirty D. I like to suck cocks. Recording.
You wasn't set. You didn't say go, man.
Go. Game on.